May is Mental Health Awareness Month, a time to focus on the importance of mental health. This week, we are talking to Megan York, the Regional Director of Outpatient Clinics for ASTA Services in Liberty, about how to recognize if someone is struggling and how to start a conversation about mental health. Megan, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So we're recognizing May as Mental Health Awareness Month, and one of the things is really seeing the signs of mental health problems or situations. Let's talk about between a child and even an adult, what behaviors should we look at in our child or friend or loved one that might indicate that they may need help with their mental well-being? And I assume that the signs you observe in a child differ from those in an adult. Is that correct?
So they can differ. I'll go through what the signs will be and I can differentiate between kid and adult.
Sure.
But a lot of them do cross over between adult and children. For a lot of people, it could be like frequently missing school or work or other activities that they enjoy. It could be isolating from friends and family. It could be even things like frequent stomach aches, headaches, or other medical concerns that aren't really better explained by a medical diagnosis. It could be behavior out of their ordinary routine. So maybe if they're a quieter person, all of a sudden they're really loud and talking very fast and extra social when that's not typical for them. It could be crying a lot, weepiness, frequently worrying about things, losing interest in activities that they used to love to do. It could be having difficulty managing anger or frustration. It could also be sudden changes in behavior. For adults, it could be, and adolescents too, so any increase or new substance use or risky behaviors that could even be like gambling or excessive shopping or spending, changes in eating, changes in sleeping too much, too little. We're just feeling overwhelmingly helpless and that they're a burden to those that they love. So for kids, the difference could be also like regressing in their milestones. So if they were, say, previously potty trained and all of a sudden they're not anymore, or they were sleeping through the night without any problems and now they're having frequent nightmares or frequent waking, or just trouble being separated from their caregivers too. Kids also specifically, I know I mentioned medical concerns, kids can show that more than adults. They might complain that their stomach hurts or that their head's hurting, their throat hurts. They don't always have the words to describe what they're going through. So sometimes it just shows in a physical way.
Does it have to be sort of a combination of things, or is just either one of those things you listed can manifest itself? Or does it have to be like, let's say, you know, for a toddler, some toddlers have bad days, some toddlers have bad tantrums and things like that. So are we looking for sort of a combination of things?
Yeah, I would say you're looking for a combination. You're looking for a pattern. So like one day, let's use potty training as an example. One day that you regress with that doesn't mean that there's something going on. It's when you're starting to see a pattern of behavior. Or if you notice that one day you're having a bad day, so you're a lot more angry than you usually are, that's not necessarily indicative of a struggle with mental health. But if you're starting to see a pattern and it's lasting over a period of time, I'd say at least a month or two, then that'd be something to talk to. Either it could be a therapist, it could be the child's pediatrician, it could be your doctor, just a trusted person even.
And just staying on the child a bit, what are some of the things, well, it could be a number of things, that's really sort of, I'm asking a really broad question here, but what things could trigger some mental health issues in a young child? Things that come up to my mind is could be like a family breakup, or it could be something happening in school. I know there's a number of factors that can be attributed to something happening to a child's mental health well-being.
Yeah, there's definitely a number of factors. I would say things going on at school could be pressures that they put on themselves with grades. It could be bullying. It could be social relationships. Like you mentioned, breakups. That's definitely something to look at, especially in adolescents. Peer relationships. It could also be a sudden separation from their caregiver, like parental absence or death can definitely trigger some of these things. There's also biological factors that can contribute to anyone's mental health. So it might not always be like a specific event or things that are going on for a person that bring out mental health symptoms. It could also just be something biological too. Puberty is another thing to consider with children too, that could bring out some of these symptoms.
So we are seeing the signs. Let's say we're now seeing the signs that someone might be struggling with mental health. How can we start that conversation about mental health with someone we care about, who we think are struggling?
I would be honest with them and willing to listen to them. I think listening is the most important thing. We want to create a space that's going to be judgment-free and full of support and try not to jump into fix-it mode, because I think a lot of people want to fix things when somebody's struggling. We just want to listen. For kids, sometimes normalizing what they're going through as something that maybe you went through or other adults that they're familiar with went through. But really the most important thing is to listen. We also want to be careful that we're not giving too much like tough love or invalidating someone. We can have the best intentions and still invalidate. So we want to focus on what they're talking about and not try to fix it too much while also offering support.
So we're talking about validating how they feel and not saying, hey, you know, it's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. Because to them, what they're going through, what they're feeling, it is a big deal.
Yeah, and especially with real young kids, I think adults can minimize what they're going through because they're so young. Mm-hmm. But it's, like you said, it's going on for them. It's a big thing for them. So we should make it a big deal to us.
When it comes to time that you see someone struggling and you think that they might benefit from therapy or some kind of help, how do you suggest to talk to someone who doesn't seem interested in talking their mental health, sort of brushes it off and says, it's not a problem, I'm fine, leave me alone. Or kick, if you bring something up, a person can become defensive and sort of shut down.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think the most important thing is that you planted the seed. They know you're there. They know you're willing to talk about it. And when they're ready, they'll be able to come to you. Especially with kids, adults should just keep an eye on it. Make sure that they know that you're there. Maybe try to revisit the conversation again without prying too much. And when they do bring it up to you, give them your full attention. It's a big deal to them. Put down your phone. Stop doing what you're doing and try to give them your full attention. And if you're not able to in that moment, tell them it's important. I want to talk about it and we'll talk about it at this time later.
So after that discussion, what should be our next steps? Who should we contact? Where should we go? Especially with kids or even with adults, what should we do next?
Sure. So it depends on the situation, of course. Some people just feel better after knowing that they're being heard and that there's somebody that's supporting them. But for others that need more like formal care, like therapy or medication, you could start with your general physician or your pediatrician, or you can explore different mental health services. Of course, we're in the area. We're happy to help anybody. In Liberty, we're seeing ages 2 to 26. I think it's important for adults, you can offer to make the appointment with them, go with them, try to look at providers with them. With kids, definitely want to go with them because they're minors and you need to fill out everything, but also you're the most important person in their life. And you're going to be doing a lot of this work at home. It doesn't stop when you leave the therapy office. And if someone's struggling with something like suicidal thoughts that are more serious, it's definitely important that they're seen by some kind of professional as soon as possible. And if they're a minor, that their caregiver is aware of those thoughts.
So you're saying that they could contact Ask the Services in Liberty and go from there and see what's the best method to go forward. But of course, with kids, yeah. You said, first off, you should see the pediatrician, correct?
You can start there, or you can go right to us. It doesn't have to go in that order necessarily, but that is another professional that you could check in with too.
You know, I read a lot of reports about the increase of mental health through the years since the pandemic. You talk about how the pandemic has brought on some mental health issues. Have you observed that yourself in your capacity as the regional director? Has you seen an increase in mental health issues, or is it that now people are more open in talking about it and comfortable in discussing mental health issues?
I think the pandemic definitely changed things. I think that there's a couple things at play. I think, yes, I agree with you. I think the stigma is lessening around mental health, that people are more open about sharing their experiences, whether they're in therapy or have medications. So I think that's helped increase people's awareness and also their comfort in discussing it. So it could be that. I think also just representation, even in media, having people share their stories really helps, especially for young adults and children to see that it's normal and that it's okay and that there's nothing wrong with talking about this. And I think the pandemic created additional barriers for a lot of people. We all struggled. It's a universal experience, but certain people struggled a lot more than others. And for kids, they went through something that us as adults did not experience while we were in school. And it created a very different atmosphere for them, different struggles. There's definitely anxieties related to a lot of this. I don't think we're done seeing the aftermath of what the pandemic caused yet for mental health.
No, certainly. I've interviewed a couple of teachers recently, and they talk about that gap of learning, especially in that transition from, say, elementary school to like middle school, and you have you know, kids who were in elementary school during the pandemic, and now they're starting school again, but now they're in middle school and in a totally different environment, a totally different set of rules.
Right.
And that adjustment period, they've noticed that a lot. They brought in a lot more counselors in schools now. I'm noticing that now to help deal with those months and weeks and years, I could say, of gap learning they had, even while they were learning at home. But obviously, in some kids I noticed, what I've heard anecdotally, have strived in that, and they're better remotely. But not for every kid, not for everyone. And you lose that social aspect of school and learning and being back into a sort of a regimen of school. But I'm seeing that now across the board. A lot of more counselors are coming into school to help deal with that situation that the pandemic brought
on. Definitely. And we see that too. And I think we're seeing some delayed things that maybe we didn't see right when the pandemic kind of was ending, but now we're seeing it now that as they're getting older and there's those behaviors that are starting to pop up. And for adults too, we were isolated too. And it's very different for an adult experience than it was for a child. But I think there's a lot of work to be done for people.
Oh, absolutely. We always joke around here that those BCADs, like before COVID and after COVID, and how life is different now.
Definitely.
Yeah. You know, for me personally, life is totally different than it was before the pandemic. Job-wise, life-wise, routine-wise, it's just so many things have changed. And I look back on those times when going to the grocery store with, you know, mask and face mask and being really nervous and scared of catching COVID. This is before the vaccines or anything like that. And it's really, you know, thankfully things are all getting back to normal, semi-normal, but it's always in the back of my head, can this happen again? Because never in my lifetime, I thought the way the pandemic went would happen. I remember leaving work one time and I said, I'll be back in 2 weeks. And, you know, I never went back to that particular job. It's just things have changed so much. And that's still in my mind. And I'm sure a lot of people's mind who have been affected by the pandemic in some capacity, whether they lost a loved one or just how life was lived for the couple of years of being isolated for a lot of people and being alone in this global pandemic.
Yeah. And we still don't know what consequences of that we're still going to see. I think a lot has changed, good and bad. Like you said, even career-wise and just how we function in our society now has changed a lot for good, for better or worse.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to take time before we really see the full aftermath on mental health, at least.
Megan, before we go, is there anything else we have not touched on you want folks to know about either this particular topic or anything else that how people can get in contact with you at Ask the Services if they need help or have a loved one who needs help?
Yeah, you can access any of our services on our website, which is asterservices.org, which is asterservices.org. Has all of our different services. Our Liberty Clinic's listed in there as well, but we have outside of clinics, we also have care management, we have Head Start, all different things in Ulster, Dutchess, and Sullivan County. We also have in Rockland and the Bronx too. So there's a full scope that you can access that way. I guess the main takeaway is just being open to people and being willing to support and listen and hope that we can change the stigma around mental health so more people come forward for treatment.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Megan York, Regional Director of Outpatient Clinics for Ask the Services in Liberty. Thank you so much for talking to me and talking about May being Mental Health Awareness Month. I do really appreciate you talking about this very important topic that we all have to face in some aspect.
Of course, it was my pleasure.
In Liberty, I'm Patricio Robayo for Radio Catskill.